Let's now turn in our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. In the evening service for the past few months, we've been making our way through the book of Philippians. And tonight we come to two verses that perhaps are some of the more familiar verses that we see in the book. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2. So let's turn our attention now and hear God's Word. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this evening. This is Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Here ends the reading of God's Word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless it to our spiritual well-being this evening. Well, as the parent of a young child, my house is normally littered with toys everywhere. And I'm sure for many of you who have young children now at home or who had young children in your home at one time, that this was the case at times as well in your house. And this is because for some reason little boys and girls like to have as many of their toys as possible out on the floor to play with rather than just a few of them. Because for some reason that's more fun, more enjoyable for them, even though that gives many more opportunities for toys to be stepped on and broken. Well, occasionally, these toys need to be picked up, and they need to be put in their proper places. However, when I start then to bend over and start picking up some of these toys and putting them in the toy basket, something usually happens almost every time. And I'm sure if you've ever had young children, you can identify with this. When I start to pick up the toys on the living room floor, and then I say to my son, all right, help me, let's put these toys away. What always happens, maybe not always, but what normally happens then is that as soon as he sees that I'm putting the toys away, right, he no longer feels any obligation to do so with me. Because, as the sinful heart so easily believes, why work at something when someone else will do it for you? And yet children are not the only ones who think this way. Well, like I tell my son to help me pick up the toys when it's time to clean up the living room, our passage this evening gives us a command, and it's a command to work. As we'll see in just a few minutes when we look at this more closely, being a Christian comes with the responsibility to work hard at obeying the Lord. And yet, as Paul thankfully reminds us in the passage, we work because ultimately God is the one who is working in us. Well, just like young children are tempted to think that they can escape the responsibility to pick up toys just because mom and dad are helping them, we too, if we're not careful, can be tempted as well to think in our Christian lives that we don't need to do anything if God really is working in us. That we don't need to work hard at our sanctification if the Bible says that God is working in us. And yet, like my helping my son to clean up his toys should, and I hope, would be an encouragement for him to do so with me, we see here in our passage that while God calls us to work out our own salvation, he then tells us and gives us a motivation to do so, that we can know as we do this, God himself is working in us. And this must then be a motivating factor in our pursuit of holiness. And so as we look at these verses this evening, then the main point that we need to see is fairly simple. It's right out of the passage. With fear and trembling, confidently work out your own salvation because God is working in you. With fear and trembling, confidently work out your own salvation because God is working in you. And children, why don't you draw a picture tonight of yourself working hard at something? Maybe it's a project at home or some schoolwork. Draw a picture of yourself working hard at doing something. Well, as you can see in our outline, the first thing that we see then is that as a Christian, you must continue to work out your own salvation. As a Christian, you must continue to work out your own salvation. And so let's look now at verse 12. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." And in this verse, there's one command: work out your own salvation. At first glance, however, this verse can easily be misunderstood, right? Especially if you take it out of context, as if Paul is saying, which he's not, that we are commanded to work in order to save ourselves. Right. But as Paul says throughout the New Testament, we are not saved by any works that we do, but rather by God's grace at work in our hearts through the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus. And so in verse 12 of our passage, Paul is not contradicting what is said throughout Scripture. But you can also see that Paul is not teaching salvation by works. If you notice that in the command, he says, work out your own salvation. The Philippians already possess the gift of salvation. Throughout the letter, Paul refers to the Philippians as both saints in Christ Jesus and brethren, meaning brethren in the Lord. Right? They are a church of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have been saved. And so in verse 12 of our passage, Paul is not at all calling them to work towards saving themselves, but rather, since they are saved, they must then work out the implications of being a saint in Christ throughout all areas of their life. That's what this means. I've given you on the back of your outline a quote from Sinclair Ferguson, a commentator who says, "Paul is not thinking here of any good works we may contribute to our salvation, but about how we are to respond to the salvation which is ours already in Christ." Right? We are not to work for it or work it up, but work it out. That is to make sure that its influence and implications permeate the whole of our lives. You see, salvation as a present possession is to be lived out in our lives in its fullness. Salvation is more than just coming to Christ at the time of your conversion. Right? Being a saved person means that all areas of your life must then be progressively transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this progressive, this growth in conformity to Christ's likeness is what we call progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. And this is what Paul is commanding us to in verse 12 when he says, work out your own salvation. It's as if he is saying, see to it, Christian, who've been saved by grace through faith, see to it that your entire person, who you are, is increasingly and constantly being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, and that your entire life more and more is lived in Christ-like obedience. In other words, all of your life is to be lived in a manner worthy of the gospel, right? Consistent with the claims of the gospel, as we saw back in verse 27 of chapter 1 a few weeks ago. Your outward actions, your outward words, your inward thoughts, your desires, your motives, all of who you are is to be progressively transformed into the likeness of Christ. You see, as the heading of this first point says, right, we are to continue to do this, right? It's a lifelong battle that we have, which is why it's not add. If you want to add in brackets in verse 12, continue to work out your own salvation. That is what is implied here. That we must always continue to do this, aiming for the perfection that we will have on the day of Christ when He comes again. And so Paul is not speaking of works righteousness, but rather he's commanding the Philippians and he's commanding you and me to diligently make sure that all areas of our lives are brought into conformity with the revealed will of God. This is to be the great project of our life, our progressive sanctification. So as a Christian, you must continue to work out your own salvation. Secondly, then, working out your own salvation requires hard work on your part and must be done at all times. It requires hard work on your part and must be done at all times. Let's look now at verse 12 again. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Notice, brothers and sisters, the command is given to you, not to God. The command to work out your own salvation is given to you. It's not given to God. Some Christians are drawn to this false idea that's been popularized by the saying, "Let go and let God." Have you ever heard of this? Let go and let God. In fact, this phrase is often associated with what some would call second blessing theology. They would say that in the Christian life, you experience two blessings. The first blessing is at your conversion, when you come to Christ. But later in your life, sometime, you'll have this second blessing. And at that time, there will be a dramatic change in your life, where instantly you will have such growth in your life. But with little to no effort on the part of the believer. And this is attractive because it promises a painless, a work-free victory over your indwelling sin. Now, you may not buy into this second blessing theology, which you shouldn't, and I hope that's clear. That's wrong. It's not biblical. But even if you don't buy into that second blessing theology, you and I, if we are not careful, can be tempted to think the same way that these folks would think, to allow the thinking behind second blessing theology to affect our own view of sanctification. And yet we see in verse 12 that we are not to be passive in our sanctification. We are not to be passive. We cannot just sit around and wait for God to change us. God commands us to work out our own salvation. And so instead, we must actively and diligently pursue this holiness in our lives. Right? Working out your own salvation requires hard, hard work on your part and on my part as well. Giving you a quote from the commentator Matthew Henry, who says, "The word," speaking here of the Greek word which we translate "work out," "this word signifies working thoroughly at a thing and taking true pains." True pains, right? We see this elsewhere in Scripture when Paul speaks of the same idea but uses different words. And so in Philippians 3:12, we are to press on. In Romans 14:19, we are called to pursue. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following, we must run the race. In 1 Timothy 6:12, we must fight the good fight. Right? In all of these verses, the picture conveyed is that of hard, disciplined, diligent, difficult work on our part. But that's the point. That's the point. Putting to death sin in your life is tough stuff. Diligently partaking in reading, keeping the means of grace in your life is tough stuff. Examining your heart in preparation for the Lord's Supper to see how you are doing in the Christian life takes time and takes effort. And yet we see God commands you and me in verse 12 to do everything and to do anything needed to work out your own salvation. As many of you know, my office is in the basement of our home. And on the other side of the basement, there's this nice treadmill. And every time I go up and down the basement steps, I walk right past this treadmill. And yet I hardly ever use the treadmill, because there's just something about exercise that I don't like. Right? And you know what the answer is, right? It's hard work. No matter what I try to do, I know that I should take care of my body. But no matter what I try to do, exercise is always hard work. And so there's always that temptation to be lazy, to not make the time for it in my life. Well, likewise, working out your own salvation is hard work. And there will always be the temptation to be lazy in your spiritual life, to not make the time for it in your life. Physical exercise is necessary, but growth in Christ-likeness is even more of a necessity. And so we must fight against the temptation to be lazy. We are called to this task. And brothers and sisters, we are called to this task whether we feel like it or not. It's not when we feel like it that we can do this. It's at all times we must work out our own salvation. Matthew Henry again says we must not only work at our salvation by doing something now and then about it, but we must work out our salvation by doing all that is to be done and persevering therein to the end. Salvation is the great thing we should mind and set our hearts upon, and we cannot attain salvation without the utmost care and diligence. It requires hard work. Well, furthermore, you are to work out your own salvation at all times. Paul says in verse 12 that the Philippians were obeying when he was present with them, right? When he was with them in Philippi in the past, and even presently, or when he is absent from them because he's under house arrest in Rome. Yet they were obedient. And it's implied that as they've done this in the past, they must continue to work out their own salvation, whether Paul is with them or not. And so too, you and I, whether we're at work, whether we're at church, whether we're at school, whether we're at home, whether we're with people, or whether we're all by ourselves, this is our project. We must work out our own salvation. And so it requires hard work that must be done at all times. Well, thirdly then, working out your own salvation must be done with fear and trembling. Working out your own salvation must be done with fear and trembling. And so in verse 12 again, we see the command, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this fear and trembling is not a judicial fear, right, that an unbeliever would have as he thinks of the coming judgment day. That is not what Paul is speaking of. Nor is this fear to be like that of a servant who has a harsh and unforgiving master. That's not the fear that he is talking about here. But rather, it is to be a filial fear, as the Puritans would call it. A filial fear. It's an attitude of godly reverence that does not want to disappoint your heavenly Father, who sent His Son at great cost to save you from your sins. That's what a filial fear is. It's not wanting to disappoint the One who gave His life for you. It's a filial fear. That is what fear and trembling has, or is to be. And it's an attitude that expresses itself in humility and in gratitude for the Lord's work on our behalf. Well, furthermore, this filial fear expresses itself in this way because of the truth that God is always present with you. You don't want to disappoint your Heavenly Father because you know God is always with you. In the Scriptures, this phrase, fear and trembling, is frequently used to describe the appropriate response when you're in the presence of God Almighty. Now, this is the appropriate response. We are to revere Him, be in awe of who He is, because He is the Holy One. He is the One who has saved us. And so in the context of our passage this evening, this means then that working out your own salvation is to be done with a filial fear of God, knowing that you are living your life before the face of God. How easy it is, isn't it, to think that when you're all alone, no one else knows what you're doing. And yet, God always knows. He always knows what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking. He is always with you. See, God knows if you're discontent. God knows if you're impatient. God knows if you are gossiping. God knows if you are telling a lie. God knows if you are angry. God knows if you are looking at pornography. Whether, no matter how outward or inward your actions may be, God sees it all, both good and bad. And therefore, since it is true that you must work out your own salvation with a filial fear, knowing that God is always with you, you must cultivate such fear and trembling. You must cultivate it in your life. In order to do this, I think there are at least two things that we must always be doing. The first thing is that we must always remind ourselves that we are living before the face of God. No matter where we are, God is always with us. He sees and knows everything. So we must remind ourselves of that. Secondly, we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Because if you are to have a filial fear in your walk with God, then you must never lose sight of what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. If you want to live with such a humble attitude that does not want to disappoint your Father, we cannot lose sight of the cross. And do we not have such a blessed opportunity tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper to look at the cross? And so when you come to partake of the supper, boys and girls, when you sit and watch your parents partake of the Lord's Supper, meditate on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Meditate on what he has done for you and of the blessings and benefits that you have as a redeemed child of God. So working out your own salvation must be done with fear and trembling. Fourthly, then, work out your own salvation with confidence, because God is working in you. Work out your own salvation with confidence, because God is working in you. And so let's look now at the end of verse 12 into verse 13. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Contrary to his normal pattern, in these verses, the Apostle Paul begins with the imperative, the command, work out your own salvation. And then in verse 13, gives you the indicative, or the statement of truth. In other words, verse 13 is the basis upon which the command in verse 12 is given. Right? That you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because God is working in you. Without God working in you, there would be no working on your part. Right? God's work, though, does not excuse us from our responsibility, but rather causes our work to come about. I've given you another quote from Sinclair Ferguson. He says, God's grace does not destroy the individual Christian's responsibility to be obedient. Rather, it makes it possible for that obedience to become a reality in every area of life. What a beautiful truth. It makes it possible for this to happen. You see, because sin has corrupted your will, your desires, and your ability to do anything that would please God. But as Paul says in verse 13, God gives you the will to do his good pleasure. When he regenerated your heart and first called you to himself by faith in Christ, he renewed your will. He gave you a new desire, himself. But he continues to renew your will throughout your life, giving you the desire, the resolve for Christ-like obedience, so that you will strive to work out your own salvation. I'm sure many of you have a to-do list. I don't actually have a list, but as I think to myself, there are many, many things that I would like to be doing more of in my life. And so since my wife is pregnant, I've told her that I'd like to be cleaning the bathrooms for her every week. You can ask her how often that's been done, though. I'd like to be spending more time with my son. There's that treadmill that I talked about earlier. I'd like to be spending more time on that. I'd like to be cutting the grass more. There are many things I'd like to be doing more of in my life. The problem is, whether it's because of misplaced priorities or time management issues, I don't usually carry out a lot of those things that I want to be doing more of. See, it doesn't help me to just have the desire if I don't actually do it. But thankfully, we see in these verses, God's promise to you is twofold. He doesn't stop with giving you the desire. He then goes on to give you the ability to put your desires into action. And that is a beautiful truth. Right? So just like the command here to work out your salvation is given to all Christians, the truth of verse 13 is for every single one of you who are in Christ. If you trust in the Lord, God is working in you so that you can obey Him. And because He is doing that, we cannot make any excuses for our sin. We cannot make any excuses for our sin. You never have to give in to sin. You are fully able to obey the Lord. And so am I. Not because we are strong, though, but because Jesus Christ gave His life for you, freeing you from the power of sin over you. And by virtue of Christ's work on your behalf, God is working in you constantly His sanctifying grace in your heart. And so in these verses, we see the tension that we see throughout Scripture between human responsibility and divine sovereignty. But as I said earlier, the command is to you. You must work out your salvation, but you do it knowing that God is working in you. We cannot be lazy. We cannot be passive. And since we know that God is doing this work in our hearts, we can seek to fulfill the command given in verse 12 with confidence, knowing that we can obey the Lord. It seems like some or maybe a lot of Christians know that they can obey the Lord, and yet, practically speaking in their lives, they feel as if they cannot make any progress over particular sins. And that is a lie. You can make progress over all of the struggles in your life, because God is at work in you. I've given you a quote from commentator J.A. Motyer. He says, "The Christian life is a blend of rest and activity, not alternating from one to the other, but a blend in which at one and the same moment, the Christian is both resting confidently, for example, on what God is doing within you, and actively pursuing, for example, the duty of working out your own salvation." Right? Both are always to be going on, the resting in Christ and the active pursuit. At the beginning of our studies in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 6, we saw a beautiful promise that says this: "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And brothers and sisters, God keeps you persevering to the end through the means described in verses 12 and 13 of our passage. That is how God brings about your final perseverance to the end, by working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. And so as you work out your own salvation, do so with confidence, not in yourself, but in the Lord who is working in you. Well, as we now turn to the Lord's Supper in just a minute, let us remember that God works in us through the means of grace, such as the Lord's Supper. And so as you come, think about Christ. Set your mind on the work of Christ by faith. And trust that as you celebrate the supper, God is working in you, both to will and to do, for His good pleasure. And so with fear and trembling, confidently work out your own salvation, because God is working in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this portion of Your Word, and we thank You that You are working in us. And because of that, we can work confidently pursuing sanctification in our lives. Lord, forgive us of our laziness. Keep us from passivity in our lives. Help us to persevere, confidently trusting in You. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.